All right, welcome to a Wednesday. Now, folks, come on. If you're just getting out of bed now, what are you doing? What are you doing? Get out of bed. Come on. Nice day until maybe later this afternoon tonight. Looks like we got some more rain coming. Hopefully, our friend Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, is going to join us later on this hour that he doesn't get tied up into something like the last couple of days. So we're going to find out more about weather and things coming up later on this hour. All right, let's talk about respect. And when I came across this subject, I thought, okay, this is one to talk about. Because, I mean, it's kind of a big subject, can kind of go in different directions, but in some other things that I do, which I'll detail as we talk to our guest here, I'm just seeing things that gives me a lot of dismay, like, we're going in a wrong direction maybe here in some particular respects, either the big picture or an individual picture. I don't know. So first off, let's welcome our guest, Mike Domich, who is with the Center for Respect. And Mike, first off, good morning, and thanks for joining me today.
Well, good morning, Scott. Thanks for having me.
All right, now here's the backstory on this one a little bit. First of all, Scott here is signed up for way too many emails. I mean, I get emails from all directions. Back when the pandemic... Yeah, remember the pandemic, folks, like 4 years ago when we were all stuck at home? I signed up for way too many things. And so now what I really need to do is I need to go into my email box and start deleting or unsubscribing. Like, oh, there's a lot of stuff. So the backstory is just a few days ago, I get an email message from the Center for Respect. And I'm looking at Mike, I'll be honest with you. When I first saw it, I thought, ugh, I'm going to move on. And luckily, I opened it, and I thought, no, this is something I think I want to talk about. This is something that I want to pursue. Now, I don't know, did your center just recently do a big, I don't know, promotional push? Because I've never heard from your group before, and then this thing shows up. I've never heard of the Center for Respect. I don't know, is there a promotional thing or something going on right now? I'm just curious.
No. So probably what happened was your server might have blocked it in the past after you signed up. That can happen. But no, we weren't doing any new promotions. That's an email that I send out whenever we write a new article.
Okay.
And it's been a little while, so that would make sense.
All right. Well, I'm glad I got this. Is one I'm glad I opened because this is something, again, worth talking about. Let's start from scratch. All right. First, Mike, if you would, tell us about yourself, where you're from, what is your background, maybe what is the Center for Respect? Give us some background information about you, please.
Yeah, happy to share that. So I got involved in this line of work, not intentionally. In other words, I didn't go planning to grow up to be speaking on respect around the world. What happened was when I was 19, I received a phone call from my mom that my 23-year-old sister at the time had been raped. And that threw my world into chaos. And about a year later, I heard a speaker, and I thought, wait, I can do something about this. So I heard the speaker in 1990. The assault happened in 1989. And so when I was 21, I started speaking out on the college campus I was at, and I started speaking in schools, and it grew from there. It struggled for the first 10 years because our society did not want to talk about these topics. And so I was off and on there for about 10 years, and in 2002, went full-time into it. And that's what I've been doing, traveling the world since then, speaking on this topic. We started as a Date Safe project, and then now, going back about 6 years ago, transferred over to being the Center for Respect, because we do a lot of work with corporate, military, schools, and really everything we do is based on the concept of a culture of respect.
So I believe you're based in Wisconsin, is that right?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. So you found a cause after a tragic situation. I mean, this is your life, right? I every now and then we encounter somebody who this is like a mission. And so apparently you've been doing this for what, over 20 years now. This is your life's mission. This is what you do.
This is what I live and breathe. That is correct. So, I mean, literally everything from middle schools to generals in the U.S. military to corporate leaders and CEOs to parents. It's every day I can be speaking to a different group somewhere in the world.
Should I assume you're a very busy fellow right now?
Yes, we are busy, and that has been consistent. It has not picked up due to issues going on. People think that, like people say, during Me Too, did you suddenly get more demand? And what I was explaining, Scott, is the people who care cared before some TV situation occurred. And so people who didn't care and then situations like that arise and think, well, we need to cover our rear ends, they do the bare minimum. So the people that I tend to work with tend to be more proactive than reactive.
Okay, I'm surprised. I guess I, again, my observations and so on, I would think that the, we'll call it the lack of respect seems to have gone up either in personal situations or, I don't know, professional situations. You're saying it's pretty much just, it's always been there. It's just been kind of steady.
Yes, that's correct. So here's a way to prove that, right? When the Me Too movement came forward and people reacted so strongly and some people pushed back against it, it was not, the word movement wasn't the best word because it wasn't technically a movement. It was a reflection of history. It was people sharing what had already occurred. And so that had been occurring for decades and centuries prior to it being actually addressed. And that's what the movement was doing, saying we're finally going to talk about this. However, with that said, nobody did. What they did is they thought, we don't have the monster in our little business, in our company, in our school, so that's something out there. And nobody stopped and looked in the mirror and went, how could I accidentally, unintentionally be contributing to this? And when I say nobody, we don't mean no one whatsoever. We mean society as a whole.
All right. Now, the Center for Respect, Mike, is this just you? Is this a team? Is it a big group of people? Tell us about the Center for Respect. What exactly is that?
Yes. So I'm the face. And what I mean by that is I'm the only one that speaks in schools and for installations and organizations. However, I cannot do this without the team behind me, without a doubt. So there is Karen who handles all of working with the clients and the shipment of materials, all the good stuff. We have travel company who handles, because I am literally all over the world. So we have vendors and different teammates that help make it all happen.
Okay, I was going to ask, is this a U.S. thing or is this an Earth thing? I mean, do you go literally everywhere?
Well, it's definitely everywhere? An Earth thing. It is an Earth thing. However, most of my work overseas is with the U.S. military. So they send me, let me give you an example. This last year, they sent me to Australia to work with some Marines. They've over the years, they've sent me all over the world. I've been on, for the U.S. military, I've been on five continents. And so we've done a lot of work with them wherever we have large forces present. We go over and do training.
Well, our military does seem to be seemingly everywhere on planet Earth. I think some folks don't realize we've got military bases like everywhere. They're all over the place. So I can imagine.
That is correct.
You're a very busy guy. And I noticed, and by the way, folks, they have a website. If you do a little web searching, just search for Center for Respect. Should come popping right up there. Because one thing, Mike, I noticed on your website, you mentioned your military, which I want to talk about later on, but you do stuff for schools, you do stuff, I guess, for colleges, you do stuff for, I guess, companies and corporations. And so what? These folks contact you and you come in and you talk about what exactly? I mean, if you were coming here, if you were coming here to do a speaking engagement, what would it include? What would you do?
Okay, so it depends on the group. If I'm working with middle schools, high schools, universities, they're typically bringing me for what's either called the Can I Kiss You program, that's the college version, or the Safer Choices program, that's the middle school, high school program. And they're bringing me in to do a one-hour program and giving students the skills and the want to for asking first for consent, respecting the answer, and then intervening at party scenes. So people will tell you overwhelmingly, the bar, the party scene, is where people are intentionally using alcohol or their drugs to try to facilitate sexual activity the other person would not engage in without being intoxicated or under the influence. And then we teach them how to intervene in those scenes, and then we teach them how to support survivors going forward. So we're really empowering them with skill set, not just awareness. The reality, Scott, is that you can give people awareness. It doesn't mean a single thing is going to change in the world. You give people a skill set they want to use, and they'll want to try it right away. That's where change occurs, is when the individual starts making behavioral shifts and changes. So that's the high school, the military, the university world. And I'll give you a perfect example. Two schools not that far from you, I'm at every year, every incoming student hears me at those universities. Penn State, I'm at just about every other year. Speaking to the incoming class. So that's very common. Even though I'm in Wisconsin, those are good examples of nearby you. And then if I'm doing military, similar work of what I just described, However, they'll also bring me in to work with leadership on how to change these conversations so that they are more proactive, they're more empowering, they're more skills-based to reduce sexual violence, and or they hire me to teach how I do what I do. We get very, very strong reactions from audiences saying what changes they're going to make in their life. So they hire me to say, what's the techniques you do with the audience to help us achieve that in our own training? So that can be the military world. Then you go to corporate, and they're hiring me not for the sexual harassment, sexual assault component, but for respect across the culture of the company and the organization. And that shows up in a million different ways. We call it the 9 daily displays of disrespect, and all of us do them, Scott. And this is how you really change culture. You say, where do I do these things so I can catch myself? So I'll give you a quick example. Interrupt. When I get excited while someone's talking, I can accidentally sometimes interrupt. It's incredibly rude because it's assuming what they had to say next wasn't important, or I knew what they were going to say, which is also disrespectful because it doesn't allow them to get to where they wanted to go and what they were saying. It's subtle, and yet it creates a culture of, I don't have to value what you have to say. And so it's catching ourselves going, oh, I'm interrupting. I don't want to do that, or apologizing right on the spot and stopping myself. Those kind of little behaviors, the rolling of the eyes at somebody at work. You share an idea and they sort of roll their eyes, or you can feel the roll of the eyes, but they don't, right? It's a disregard for your ideas, your thoughts, your values. And it's discussing how we can all choose respect in those moments instead of disrespect.
Yeah, I was going to ask, you've been here before, but you just said every other year. I mean, we got Penn State in the backyard. You come here, I guess you said, every other year to talk to what, freshmen?
Just about every other year to Penn State. I was there last year, last fall. I'm at, to tell you how close I am to you, I'm at Juniata every year.
Okay.
And then I'm at Bucknell every year.
Okay, that's very close. That's kind of one south and one east, so okay.
Right, exactly, yes.
Now, this is with freshmen that you do all this stuff?
In that time of the year. So what I'm referring to is their welcome weeks, their orientation weeks. So once August comes around, middle of August, I'm with colleges straight for a month. I mean, literally almost every day I'm on a different campus somewhere in the country. I'm on a lot of flights and planes to make that happen because it can be everywhere from Portland all the way over to, you know, New York region, New Jersey area. And so, yes, that's what we're doing, the incoming class. The rest of the year, it can depend. If it's a university, it could be all, the athletes, could be Greek Life, could be the whole campus. If it's a school, I'm typically brought in for the entire school, 9th through 12th. Or they're bringing me back every year for the 9th to get my basic program and the 12th to get my more advanced program. So that's typically how it works.
Wow, that's a lot of traveling. Oh, my gosh.
Yes, it is.
August
yes.
and September must be insane for you. Holy moly.
We really don't slow down until the end of November.
Oh, my God. Wow, that's a lot of stuff. Okay. Well, it's good that people are interested in what you're presenting and so on. We have to take a break in a couple minutes. Now, I'm just curious. I do a little work in some other work that I do, primarily with like high schools, middle schools, and some stuff. When you're talking to these students, probably, you know, for the first time, they're seeing you for the first time. You mentioned eye rolls. Do you get eye rolls? I've got to believe you do, from some students like, oh, I got to put up with this. What's the reaction
as
usually?
As they're coming in, because they assume it's going to be something it's not. So as they're coming in, yes. Once it starts, not at all. They're so appreciative. It goes the direction it goes. We start with a lot of humor and engagement, and they're expecting to walk in and get hit with, you are the problem, and it's a you-based, like you, and they're expecting to get statistics, and they're expecting to be highly depressing conversation, and where we start out with, hey, how are people making these choices, whether to kiss someone, not kiss someone? So it starts on an issue where they'll be like, well, you just go for it, and we're having a conversation. Well, how do you go for it? Well, the look, and we have students give the look. All right, give the look, and everybody starts dying laughing, of course, because they're like, well, that's ridiculous. But you're telling me this is how you do things. So you have a ridiculous system that's based on arrogance and assumption. I can read what you want. I know what you want. I'm just going to do it to you without confirmation. And they get it. They're like, oh, my gosh, that's true. So you're helping them see the value of being able to talk with a partner.
Because this is a pretty deep subject. I mean, for any age group, but I'm thinking especially for teenagers, you know, do they actually get it? I mean, that's pretty...
Yeah, so here's a really amazing thing, Scott. All of our programs, the students take their phones out at the end and do a quick survey on their phones. And the questions are, due to today's program, I'm more likely to ask first before engaging in any intimacy. Due to today's program, I'm more likely to intervene at a party involving alcohol or other drugs. Due to today's program, I'm more likely to proactively support survivors. Each of those questions across all demographics, average answer is 93 to 96% agree or strongly agree with all three statements by the end of the hour.
Wow. All
right, now, Mike, if you ask that coming into the hour, you'd get a complete opposite.
Mike, let me jump in because we have to take a commercial break here. We're talking with Mike Domich from the Center for Respect. I want to delve into this a little more. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead, exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
When the job demands power, precision, and reliability, you need tools that can keep up. Steel, gas, and battery-powered chainsaws, trimmers, zero-turn mowers, blowers. You'll love the ease of use. Proudly made in America and engineered to perform. Steel has you covered at Ports Sports Emporium, 1846 Zion Road, Bellefonte. PortsSportsEmporium.com. From the forest to your backyard, trust Steel to get the job done right. Steel, built in America. Trusted by everyone. Supplying and helping homeowners to professionals with unmatched sales, service, parts, and accessories. Visit Ports Sports Emporium, an Elite Steel dealer, 1846 Zion Road, Bellefonte. PortsSportsEmporium.com. PortsSportsEmporium.com, an Elite Steel dealer, 1846 Zion Road, Bellefonte.
Do you have everything for your next get-together, party, or event?
Did somebody say something about a party?
Let the 64 Beer Store take care of all your party needs with great beverages and snacks. With over 400 beverage offerings, they have all of your beer, wine, and soda choices in one location. They also have kegs for the bigger events, too.
The 64 Beer Store, 1/2 mile north of Interstate 80, Lamar, 6102 Nittany Valley Drive, or call them at 570-726-8687.
The Center County Recycling and Refuse Authority is a community partner of Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox. You can check out their website at centercountyrecycles.org. Find out about upcoming events, employment opportunities, and other information. A reminder that this summer, the recycling crews will begin their routes at 6 a.m. Visit centercountyrecycles.org for all the latest information. That's centercountyrecycles.org.
The state college spikes are back home this weekend. It's three games against West Virginia, all at 6:35 p.m., starting with Fitness Friday and Four Pack Friday. Then it's Bucko Mania Night with the Pirate Parrot, the Pittsburgh Pierogies, and the Bucko Brigade on Saturday, with fireworks after the game presented by Penn Highlands Healthcare on Penn Highlands Healthcare Cancer Survivors Night. And then it's a Sunday fun day with Baseball Bingo. For tickets, call 814-272-1711 or buy and download at statecollegespikes.com.
Are you looking for the best pizza in town? Look no further than Brothers Pizza in downtown Bellefonte. Good, fast, and did I mention really good? Brothers Pizza also delivers to the immediate area, but you can also enjoy sit-down dining with convenient on-street parking. For fast, friendly delivery, call 355-5581 or stop by at 102 North Allegheny Street in downtown Bellefonte. Brothers Pizza, downtown Bellefonte.
For quality you can see and wear, remember PAMP for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
Get going with the Happy Valleys, 98.7 The Fox.
Let's talk for a Wednesday. Scott here again, our friend the Ironhead Jeff Byers on vacation this week. The lucky dude and his family. He'll be back on Monday. I get my chance later in July. All right? Just take a week and just, go do something. Everybody needs to do that. So anyway, we are talking with Mike Domich from the Center for Respect. And again, very interesting topic here. By the way, Mike, I love your video on how to pronounce your last name.
We do that for all of our clients because they have to introduce me. And so it avoids, it makes them feel better without having to slaughter it. I'm used to it being messed up, but they feel bad. So we just create that little video.
That's great. I think I should try that because sometimes people blow my last name. So I know what you mean. D-O-M-I-T-R-Z. Domich. All right, there we go.
Domich.
Okay. Just an open-ended question. And this could be for a school. It could be for a company. It could be for, a large group of people. Essentially, how do you create a culture of respect? Now, that sounds like, as soon as you throw that out, I could see some people thinking, oh, man, that's a lot of work. Oh, we're not even going to try because it's just too big. And it just, Mike, it shouldn't be, all right? This is Scott. I'm kind of old. My parents, if you will, raised me the right way to be polite to people, even if I disagree with them. All right, and I have plenty of disagreements, but at least, be polite, be respectful, and so on. And it's just, Mike, my observation is today that seems to be going down in either personal relationships or bigger ones than that. So just kind of an open-ended question. Take as much time as you want. How do you create a culture of respect within a group? How do you do that?
Yeah, two major concepts. True core values, and then at the individual level. So first of all, the organization has to believe in its core values. If you don't have a set of core values, then you have nothing to build on, right? And so if you're going to say that we're going to create a culture of respect, here's what that means. Here's what that value looks like in our world. And if you are going to choose to ignore that, if you're going to choose to intentionally violate that, you will not be a part of this organization. And one of the problems that some organizations have is a lack of strong leadership. A lack of strong leadership will allow people to stay in an organization who do not align with the organization's values. And they'll make excuses for it. Well, they're a producer. Yeah, but their production is crushing everybody else's production. So that's just fear that you're not acting on versus leading. And so that's the key. You want to align the two. And then everybody agrees to hold themselves accountable. You're not trying to manage other people. You're trying to have so many great people with the right values in your organization that they're catching themselves. They want this for themselves. Years ago, I was a high school coach, and we told our team, hey, look, what's the goal? And they said a state championship, and they'd never won a state championship. We said, okay, great. We're going to put everybody's individual goals on the wall at the end of the pool so you can see your teammates' goals. And the reason we do that is you can challenge each other and yourself at every moment during the set because you know the team goal is to win. And so what by doing that, they're going, hey, I got to pick up my pace. I got to do this. They're holding themselves while cheering the others on. Hey, John, let's go. Hey, Steve, let's go. And that's the kind of culture you want where you're going, hey, how can I do better today? And how can I cheer on those who are doing better today and lift up those who might be struggling? It is an individual level aligned by a core value.
Core values. All right. A follow-up. Now, I mentioned earlier, I do or have done some work with schools. I mean, like K-12 type schools, primarily. And that idea of core values. Now, Mike, your opinion from all of your experience, I'm thinking there might be a lot of schools out there, they really don't have core values. They're just kind of coasting. The kids come in at 8 o'clock. They go to classes. At 3 o'clock, the bell rings. Everybody goes home. And there's no real core value underneath all of that. It's just get your work done, all right? And so there's problems in the school, and you mentioned leadership and stuff like that. I just wonder if there are a lot of schools in particular now, they really don't have core values. Mike, what's your response to that?
There are schools there are definitely schools that's true of. There's no doubt about that whatsoever. Or they advertise they do. They market that they do. But if you look at what's going on behind the scenes, it does not align at all. Now, I will say this. There are many schools who do and who pride themselves on that. So it's a matter of figuring out who is and who isn't. And I'll give you a classic example, Scott. Let's say that a local sexual assault crisis center says, we're bringing Mike to the area. And they'll reach out to a local school and say, we're bringing him to you. You don't have to invest anything. Just have to give us an hour for him to be with your students. And you'll have a school go, yeah, we're not addressing that. In today's day and age, we're not addressing that. And when they dig deeper, they go, why not? Well, that would lead to parents calling me. Okay, great example of, oh, so your values, this isn't out of alignment with your values. You just believe parents, a couple of parents complaining, because that's usually all would be, and it's 1,000 students in a school, maybe 3 or 4 parents would ever call on this. And we know because we've been doing this for so long. But they're so afraid of the 3 or 4 parents that they'll take away the opportunity for the other 996 parents. So that tells me that your values are not based on leadership and care for students. Your values are to not have an inconvenient day. And that is poor leadership. Great leaders go, yeah, I'm going to get a few calls, but this is a no-brainer. Why would I not want this? The fact is these kind of issues have a massive impact on student mental health, which has a massive impact on student success rate, retention rate, how well they do when they leave your school. It impacts every aspect of their life. And so why would you not want them to have these skills to empower themselves and their peers to make safer, more respectful, loving choices toward themselves?
All right, couple follow-ups. All right, leadership. So improving respect in any group, but let's stick with schools, all right? Improving leadership, is that all top-down, or could some of that actually sort of be bottom-up? In other words, from the kids, or is it really going to have to be from the top-down?
Well, first of all, movement can happen from every direction. We've had students bring us in. We've had students at schools call and say, we have this organization, and we're going to make it all happen. And they are working from the bottom up. We have teachers who say, hey, I'm fighting the system a little bit here, but I'm getting everything put together to bring you. And they're fighting from within the system. For it to stick, for there to be long-term shift and change, at sooner or later, the top's got to support it. Otherwise, there'll be a contradiction occurring, right? So students will be doing, oh, we've made all these changes, made all this, but then the students who don't believe that will never be held responsible for their consequences, because the leadership isn't in line with it. Right? So this is how cover-ups occur on my topic, right? A sexual assault occurs, and a school's covering it up. Why? Because the top did not align with the values of a culture of respect. So they thought, well, this isn't that bad, that kind of horrible language that's been around forever. They have that kind of mentality. Let's not ruin the student's life over this choice they made, versus recognizing, whoa, 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 we didn't say ruin a student's life. We're saying hold them responsible. What about the student they harmed? Where's the justice there for them? And so those kind of decision-making processes really reveal often, is the leadership in line with a value of respect?
Now, we've talked here, Mike, on our show before about, you know, students and mental health, and we keep seeing statistics that more young people today are having various struggles with mental health and so on. All right. Maybe it's just a lack of respect. I mean, maybe that's a major. There are people running around trying to figure out what's going on. Why is this happening? Maybe just a general lack of respect in schools or in groups could be a major reason why these kids are struggling today. Does that sound right?
I would say that we don't see any signs of that correlation, just to be fair. And remember what I was saying earlier. I don't believe that there's a massive increase in disrespect. I think it is showing in different ways today than it did in the past. And at the same time, we are seeing signs of respect that we never saw before. And so they're trying to balance each other is the key issue here. Obviously, we want the signs of respect to win this, so there isn't a balance of disrespect. You want respect to win the day. But there are things being done now that never would have occurred 30 years ago because of respect. So let me give you a great example. Bringing me into a school would never have happened 30 years ago because schools, I know because we were struggling to get in them 30 years ago. It was rare we could get in because schools said, we're going to put the blinders on. We're going to, even though we have this happening, we have cases, we're going to act like we don't. So now schools recognize, wait, this is too important not to address. How can we be ignoring this? And we need to be proactive with something that works because they want the best for their kids. And that's a great sign that respect is being addressed, right? Very proactively in ways it was never addressed. So, Scott, I'll give you an example. When I started doing this work, and I was 20, 21, I remember talking to people in their 50s going, Mike, this has always been here. I experienced this when I was 20, when I was 30. You weren't allowed to talk about it. So what happened is now people talk about it and they think, oh, sexual assault's way up. No, it was hidden before. The signs of respect are that survivors can come forward today and be supported more so than ever in the past. It doesn't mean they're fully supported, but way more than in the past. These are signs of positive improvement in a culture of respect. The fact that companies are even having these conversations. Can you imagine 30 years ago, companies bringing people in to say, let's talk about how we treat each other? Because disrespect was happening in the workplace 30 years ago all the time. I can tell you horrible stories people have shared with me that were commonplace, but you were taught to keep your mouth shut. That's not your job, and keep looking on. Where now we go, no, I'm part of this organization. I matter, and so does that person potentially being harmed over there. I'm going to stand up, and this is the language we teach, Scott, because it's who I am. Who I am is not going to stand by while this happens. And when you engage, I don't care whether it's a 12-year-old or a 65-year-old, with who they are, they make different choices because they want to do the right thing.
That's interesting, Mike. So in other words, these issues have always been around, but back in the so-called old days, nobody ever dealt with this. It's like, no, just shh, just shh, quiet. Whereas today you're saying there's been a lot more talk from people like you and some other folks. People are more open to talking about this stuff, where in the old days we just shut it all down. Does that sound about right?
100% correct.
Interesting.
Yeah, you
right.
did not have these. Yeah, I'll give you an example at the high school, college level. In very heteronormative situation here that I'm about to mention, but a young woman and a young man go out. The young man, and then they start kissing and making out, let's say. And the young man pushes it way farther than it should have been. Decades ago, here's what would have been said. Well, I mean, she shouldn't have started kissing him in the first place. They would have totally victim-blamed. Versus saying, well, she has the right to kiss somebody. She wants to kiss them as long as they want to kiss, too. They don't have the right to go a lot further than she wants it to go, any further than she wants it to go. And in the past, it was, well, she shouldn't have got herself in that situation. And don't get me wrong, Scott, there are still people talking that way to this day, but less and less. And here's the wonderful thing. Most kids, just like adults, want to do the right thing. So when you put the conversation in a piece of who are you, they want to do the right thing. Right? But nobody's given them the skill set to do it. So I always tell parents, why are we surprised they struggle sexually when nobody's teaching them? What they're seeing in porn and in movies isn't going to give them the skill set. In fact, it's going to give them a very unhealthy skill set, and that's where they're getting it from. So until we teach a different skill set, why would we be surprised there's so much disrespect?
All right, Mike, we only have about a minute and a half left. Let me go macro. All right, we got a big presidential debate tomorrow night. Woo-hoo-hoo. When I look at politics, I see tremendous disrespect. Both sides. Now, just I'll leave it open-ended. How does this tie into what you're doing from a national perspective when it comes to, like, politics and so on? Is there anything we can do about this?
Yeah, remember what I said about a culture. It's at the individual level. So if I watch that and think, yeah, and I'm going to join in that disregard for a human being, which you see all the time in politics, I'm now part of the culture that's the problem. Because I'm choosing to join that versus going, oh my gosh, this is not how I talk about another human being, to their face or behind their back. I choose not to. And in fact, I'm going to defend the person who's being degraded in that moment. That's the choice I'm going to make. And having those conversations, that's how we really shift things. Otherwise, it's, you know, the old train wreck concept, which is, hey, we're watching this to watch the train wreck, which is a lot of people with today's politics, versus going, no, I don't want train wrecks in my life. I'm not participating as far as I'm not watching the debate or I'm not doing that. If that's the reason I'm watching, I'll get the information I need some other way, but not for the enjoyment of disrespect.
Well, Mike, unfortunately, we're about out of time, but I tell you what, I'm really glad I opened that email. This was a very enlightening conversation. And again, folks, if you go online, do a web search, Center for Respect should come popping right up. And Mike, I'll tell you what.
And that's literally the website, by the way.
Yeah, that's it. Centerforrespect.com. Yeah. Next time you're in the neighborhood, if you want, drop us a line. Maybe we could do a follow-up, maybe in studio or something. I'd love to have you, because this is a really important topic.
That would be fun. I'll be there in August, so that would be fun.
Well, we just did it here, so maybe in the next time.
Yeah.
But we'll see
right,
how it goes.
A year from now, yeah.
Mike, I really appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Scott. Thanks for having the conversation.
Folks, some pretty important stuff there, and something maybe we all need to work on.